Welcome to Relationships in Recovery, a podcast that goes beyond storytelling and provides uncensored and vulnerable shares with insights into the world of sobriety and some of the biggest reasons for relapse, which is sex, love, and relationships. My name is Eve Milford, and I am your sober sexologist. This podcast has been inspired from my own journey of substance addiction and the many years I've studied sex, love, and relationships. And I'll be sharing with you how to navigate intimacy, boundaries, rejection, sex, love, and so much more, all whilst living a life in sobriety and recovery. So come along with me and let's do this. Welcome, welcome. I'm so excited. It's 2024, people. 2024. Can you actually believe it? We made it. Wow. I held a little event actually just before the new year. It was on the 28th of December here in Melbourne, Australia. And it was an incredible event. It was called Power Unleashed. And you know what? I feel like a lot of that is going to be moving forward into 2024 with me. Well, I know it is because that's the whole reason I did it. And I, you know, came from a place with that. And my intention was to make sure that, you know, anything that I sort of spoke about or taught is going to be carried into the new year. And that's exactly what I'm going to do because it's all about empowerment. It's all about taking up space and being seen. And it really was such a, there was a lot in it. There was a lot in it. But it really, you know, you could take it or you could take or leave some of it. You know, many of the beautiful people that attended and got the replay, they did mention, you know, that there were certain elements of it that were really impactful and other spaces and places where they just kind of rested and integrated. And that was the whole point of it. But anyway, the reason I speak about that is because today I'm going to be talking about intentions. Of course, it's New Year, it's January. What else am I going to talk about? Now, I am saying intentions and not manifesting, even though, you know, I have somewhat of you know, an aspect of that belief of manifesting. I do think as well that I think some people might get confused with that word and just assume that if you manifest and you really think hard enough, then, you know, universe is going to throw it your way without you doing things. And, you know, I think we manifest things. We can manifest things positively and we can manifest things negatively. And I know for me, certainly the last, you know, few decades of my life have all been negative manifestation. And of course, I still had a part to play in that. And that was me not looking at the things that I did and not changing my behavior and all of those things, you know, that I talk about quite regularly. And so the same can be sought for manifesting in a positive light. And one of the things that you would do is take some intentions and do these intentions. So a lot of tantra, you would have an intention before you do any kind of practice. And that really does reflect the connection that can be created using the tantric practices. So today I'm actually going to just talk about intentions and the importance of setting healthy intentions in relationships. So whether you have a partner or not, because I'm going to talk about dating as well and intentions in dating too. And so it's stepping into this year and really having an intention for relationships. So my intention for this year for relationships is, and it's not necessarily a partner or a friendship. This is, for me, it's about community. So it's the relationships that I build with community, with the women that come to see me, and soon to be men. I Yeah, so I set an intention, and you can set an intention for the year, for the month, for the week, for the day. Intentions really help with habits as well. So, you know, there's there's many great things that come out of this book, and it's the book called Tiny Habits. And that's exactly what is taught within this book, is having tiny habits or intention, you know, and having an intention. So one tiny habit would be, as soon as you put your foot on the floor, you would say, I am going to have a wonderful day, or I'm going to have a great day, whatever it is, whatever your words are. And see yourself having that great day. And it's amazing. It's really, really good. And that's something you can do every single morning. And of course, intentions have been so helpful for me in my sobriety. And it's one of those things of like, okay, so my intention is that I'm going to go out to this party that I was invited to. And my intention is to try and speak to as many people as I can. So it doesn't have to be like this huge spiritual experience. Although generally what happens is once you set that intention, it becomes, you know, felt in your body. So we get that felt sense. So feeling the intention in your body is really, really helpful, again, to even set the intention. It's like feeling, what do I want to feel? And allowing that to surface in the body, and then going to that area and saying, okay, what is the intention for me here? So when we think about this in relationship, again, you know, I will be speaking about partnership relationship or, you know, romantic relationships or whatever it is. And I'm going to be talking about dating as well. So with the relationship piece, setting an intention for your relationship for the year is so beautiful. Sit down with each other and decide. You know, you're each going to have your own separate intention of what you want from the relationship. To sit down and go, okay, this year, my intention is to really grow in this relationship. Or this year, my intention is to really make myself accountable for the communication that I use. My intention this year for this relationship is to notice my patterns. So you can have your own, and then you can have an intention of what you would really like with you both in that relationship. How do you want that relationship to grow? Where do you want to go? Be on the same page. Allow a conversation to flourish from whatever your intention is for that relationship. Really beautiful. So communication is like number one, really is. It's a huge piece in the puzzle, as it were. So if you've never really been a communicator, maybe that's something that your intention is for this year, is to have effective communication and to allow that to grow and develop. Now, really great book. Love this book. It's something that I refer back to time and time again, and I constantly provide this to, you know, give this as a recommendation to my clients who are in a couple. And it's Getting the Love You Want, A Guide for Couples by Harville Hendricks. And it's a great book. The methodology, it's called the Imago methodology, and it's great. It's wonderful. Really, really helpful for communication, for looking at patterns and all those kind of things. Great self-help book if you're into that. So when you set intentions for relationships, it really does, it builds such a strong foundation, because you know where each other's at. There's no sort of hiding behind anything. And you can have like a beautiful ritual for this if you really wanted. Or you could just sit at table with a, you know, great one of your beverages that you really love, and sit and have a cup of tea, or you know, something, a mocktail over your intention building, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe you already know exactly what it is that you want to set an intention for this year, and maybe your partner doesn't really have that much of an idea. Maybe has never done anything like this before, and so the invitation there is for you to maybe start doing something every year, maybe even before the end of the year, as a little ritual in your partnership to set yourself up for the following year. Again, making sure you're on the same page, knowing exactly what it is that you really would love and desire for yourself in the relationship, and then as a couple in the relationship, or a throuple, whatever it is that you're in. Again, you can do this with friendship too, obviously. It's like, it's such a beautiful space to be doing this in. You can do this parent and child. You can, you know, whatever it is, whatever kind of relationship, you can set an intention for that relationship with one another. So, so beautiful. And so the reason why this is so good is because it really does set like a bit of a roadmap for you and for the health of the relationship as well, and the growth of where you're going, what you're doing, and how you're doing it. You don't have to have all the nuts and bolts there right away, but definitely having that as part of you moving forward and growing together is going to be really crucial and key. And so you can really be looking at and defining what it is you really want, which is going to help with that foundational piece moving forward. So defining what you want as a person within a couple, and then as a couple together. You know, it could be improved communication, deeper emotional connection, or setting healthy boundaries. You know, how you want to move forward in your sexuality as well, in that piece too. You know, I wouldn't have too many intentions, but you can certainly set some, you know, maybe for an emotional space, and that sexuality piece as well. You know, is there anything that you want to try this year, or anything like that? So when we, you know, when you start doing that, you start to get clarity and direction with the intentions that come to you. So it really starts to define, right, okay, where are we moving to? This roadmap starts to kind of look a little bit clearer, instead of just bumbling along, having a relationship. You know, another intention that might be, I want to have a date every, you know, I want to make sure I have a date with you every week, or every fortnight, or every month. And we really want to make sure that we do that this year. I want to make sure we flourish and grow. I want to make sure that we experiment. And then you can start really defining that intention. Okay, so what does that experiment look like? Or what do those dates look like? Or, you know, okay, when, let's put it in the diary. Really making it clear and having some direction. And what this does is it helps to navigate any challenges, and it helps to celebrate the joys along the way as well. So there can be more direction and sort of more communication around the intention. Because if you feel like your intention is not being met, or you're not meeting your own intention, maybe you want to be accountable for that. There can be, you know, a decision made as well there and then. Okay, can you? I'll allow for you to keep me accountable to my intention. You know, and vice versa. Is that a shared? Something shared that you want to do to keep each other accountable for that? Or are you going to hold on to your own intentions and keep yourself accountable? So there again, that clarity comes in, and direction. Where am I not sticking to my intention? Instead of, I guess, pointing out, and when I say, you know, asking for the other person to be accountable for you, it's like, well, you can pull me up on it, but don't, you know, don't berate or throw back in anyone's face in a loving, caring way. This isn't for argument's sake. This is just to keep accountable and to remind each other and not to use it as or to weaponize it in an argument. So creating sort of these intentions, again, can be done in a beautiful ritual, create a space, candles, music, lighting, incense, whatever it is, crystals, cards, whatever it is that you would like to set a ritual up for and set these intentions, then you can do it that way. Or you can, like I say, just do it sitting at a kitchen table on the sofa, obviously not with anything on. Don't be watching TV whilst you're doing it. Have a beautiful one-to-one connection with each other and allow yourselves to sit in what comes up for you. And, you know, it really is not dissimilar when you're dating. So for me, intentions when dating are really crucial. So this would be part of a conscious dating piece. So these intentions will become your own intentions. And then maybe, you know what, later on down the line, they become the intentions with your date, depending on how close and how well connected you are with that person and, you know, what they might like. And maybe they really find it wonderful that you're setting these intentions for yourself. And so it's really important to set these intentions, maybe not necessarily I'm going to be meeting the person of my dreams on this date, but more my intention is, again, feeling this in your body. And, you know, the other part can be part of the manifesting piece, which has a lot more elements to it than setting an intention. So the intention is probably part of the manifesting, right? But I would suggest and invite you to, instead of it being this big, bold statement and intention of I'm going to make this person my partner forever, I would set it as I'm going to have a really great time on this date. My intention for this date is to share a little bit more about myself. Maybe it's the second, third date. My intention on this date is to ask about his sexual health and invite in a conversation about sexual health. My intention on this date is to maybe find out what his kinks are and to explain what mine are. And so, you know, really looking at it from that point of view and allowing yourself to really sit with what it is that you want from that date. What is my intention for this date? You know, you can, of course, intentions can come bigger and bolder, but I really would start off with something like that. It could be, you know, expressing yourself openly. It could be listening actively, and just really sharing your feelings and thoughts on particular topics, some of which I've mentioned. And again, you know, it's really important to have those kind of discussions as well with people, because that really helps with compatibility and whether or not you really are the person, or they're your person. And so really allowing yourself a lot of time to think about the intention, you know, have a look back over what have we spoken about? What do I know about this person? What do I want to know more about? And really get curious. Really, really curious about what it is that you would like to know. And as you're going through this process, there might be some learnings that pop up. Now, I found this in my experience that I sometimes, my body will tell me more, and I've spoken about this before, my body will tell me more than what my head will. And then my head needs to catch up to what my body has been saying the whole time. That is very common for me. and the energy as well. I'm a huge energetics person, so I do feel the energy of someone, especially when we're talking about that sexuality piece as well. And so I have to really stabilize myself and come back to a place of learning of, okay, what have I already learned about this person? But not just that, it's like, what is my pattern here? What are the, you know, how has it worked with one and not with another person? You don't have to look into it. I wouldn't look into it too deeply. But if there's a pattern that is occurring, just take note of that. So there's this continuous learning that occurs. Because what I'm going to say is people evolve. Hi, baddie. People evolve. And so, you know, what you might feel like doing one day is going to be different to another. But not just that, through the experience of maybe enjoying dates and really enjoying the process, we'll start changing the experience and the magnetism that is held in those spaces. And so, you know, people's desires change. And this is so true with people who are in relationships as well. And I hear so many times, you know, oh, I did all this work on myself and, you know, and now I'm getting a divorce. Like, and I hear that because it feels like the partner isn't kind of catching up, as it were. And so it's about having the part of you know that that's occurring, knowing that there's a growth that's happening, and then kind of, you know, working from there, setting an intention yet again with each other. If so, you've got someone there who's allowing you to set intention, or not allowing you, but who is getting involved with intention setting, and, you know, that's a great start, right? So having this continuous learning at any stage, whether you're dating or if you're in relationship, really is crucial, and understanding that. And so one thing that I hear often as well is, and this was happening a lot on social media very recently, where I heard people saying, well, once you're healed, then you see red flags in everyone and you literally don't want to date anyone. And this was going around and people were like, oh my God, yeah, that's so true. And it's funny because I was listening to this and watching it thinking, then you're not healed. if you're seeing red flags in everyone, there's clearly something triggering you that needs to be healed even more. And as you know, I'm not a big fan of the word healed. Liberated is definitely the word I prefer. Because, I mean, we heal and we're healing. I just find it a hard concept for people to say that they're healed, especially when they say that bullshit. Like, it's like, then you're not healed, my love. Like, that is not that's ego is what that is. And it is unfortunately, it's canceling people, and it's this cancel culture that happens very frequently and very often. And so just be very mindful of that. I'm not saying ignore red flags, but what I'm saying is question if you're dating, or even if you're in a relationship, question what is it about that red flag that makes it a red flag for you, and how can you respond to that red flag? What, have something in place for that red flag. I mean, you know, we're talking very different kind of red flags that people might have. Some people's red flag may be a yellow flag or a green flag, and vice versa. So more often than not, it's, you know, saying that everyone you meet after that is a red flag. I mean, everyone has red flags. Everyone, not one person does not have a red flag. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Maybe the monks in Tibet. I don't know. There has got to be. And it's how you deal with that red flag. And I'm not, this isn't putting it back on to the person who is receiving the initial red flag, but it's looking at it in a different light of, okay, is it a red flag to me because it is mirroring my old behavior, or is it mirroring something to me that I don't like? Is it a red flag because they're always late? You know, is that a red flag for someone? Obviously, when we look at safety, that's a different issue completely. Feeling safe with someone, I don't even think needs to be a red, green, yellow flag. I think feeling safe needs to be just a feeling safe and should just be flagged whenever you don't feel safe with someone. And, you know, again, how do you deal with that? Kind of moving on to like real conscious dating territory here. But that is a huge factor for me. And I really just wanted to mention that about all these influencers saying that too, because initially when I heard it, I was like, oh my God, that is so true. And then I was like, no, it's not. It's bullshit, because surely that means it's me. I'm the one that's getting triggered 24/7 by these people. And then why am I still going for that? You know, why am I still, why is my pattern still going for those kind of people that have that red flag, or all these red flags? You know, what is it within me that keeps going back to that? And again, we go back to that familiarity and that patterning. And it's, again, okay, so have you really healed? And that doesn't take away from the work that is done on anyone. What that does do is highlight, or maybe there's a little bit more work that's needed to be done in a different area. And that generally is the sexuality piece, I have to say, because that is the piece that doesn't get worked on when, you know, it might be sort of past trauma, but what's generally never included in that is the sexuality and the positive aspects of someone's sexuality being sort of highlighted and allowed to come to the surface and to be spoken about for a start. So kind of went on a bit of a tangent there, but I feel like it was really important to be spoken about. And so maintaining a really healthy mindset within relationship and within dating, I know that can be really hard in both territories. Dating is really hard to keep a healthy mindset. Because, you know, it does feel like it can be really treacherous. So what I will say before going on dates, just knowing that your pleasure is your pleasure and no one can give you that. You have a choice, and whether or not you receive that pleasure. And that's, you know, going back to the healthy boundaries piece, but the mindset, knowing that, and also knowing and having a really empowered mindset before you go out helps massively with feelings of rejection. And this isn't about blowing your own horn or whatever. It's knowing that you're fully in your power when you go out on this date, and what is a great thing to do, because I love working with archetypes, is to find this part of you that is so empowered and knows that she's enough, knows that she's worthy, and going from that space. But finding that in within your body, not making it that is my mind, allowing it to have, so to have the mindset to do this. So having the mindset to look for the supportive part of you, your sub-personality, that is you, that is so empowered and powerful and all those things, but in a really loving, kind way, who knows how to have a conversation, who knows how to communicate really, really well, and knows to have fun and enjoy herself. Because I think we do forget that with the, with, you know, the nerves that come in, we do forget to enjoy ourselves. I love dating. I think it's really fun. I never used to. I used to hate it. Really, really hate it. So adaptability, yeah, you know what? Challenges really do arise in both dating and relating, as we know. So ensuring that you have the communication, the connection, and expressing gratitude as well is really key. And so allowing yourself to be adaptable to situations, you know, it might not have, you can, like, having an intention is so good for this, because you can have a different intention for the next date, you know, or same with conversations. You can adapt. This is what I want my overall intention to be. But today I'm going to have this intention. You know, in Reiki, there are intentions that are set. You know, it's, I will not be angry. I will not worry. There are many ones. And, I know there are a few in AA as well. And they're daily sort of intentions, and they're really good. In actual fact, I feel like the ones in AA kind of come a little bit from the Reiki principles. But so just having that adaptability to know that you can have these intentions, right? And if you, and the reason for this, and I spoke about this a little bit before, is, you know, if you start the day of like, I will not be angry, and then if you get angry, something reminds you and you go, oh, shit. I said I wasn't going to get angry today, and I've just raged. All right, what do I need to do to fix this? Have I hurt someone? Have I got to apologize? Have I hurt myself? What do I need to do? And it's about coming back to yourself. And so intentions really help with your awareness again. So that's the clarity piece, right? Really helpful for that. And so when we look at it that way, this really helps for any patterns, any toxic patterns that might occur in relationships, and they can be prevented. Or a resolution can occur, or, you know, looking at one's own behavior in that sense can really be helpful to acknowledge harmful behaviors. But that's not to say that getting angry is a harmful behavior. Getting angry is natural, and it needs to happen, as I've spoken about before. Sacred rage, sacred anger and rage is huge. And yeah, if any of you have been to my event before, you know how much I really, really love using anger and rage as a really beautiful way to express in a healthy way. Again, because, you know, we can have toxic and healthy emotions. Of course, all of them are. And so for this particular thing, it could be, did I lash out at anyone? No, then that's okay. You know, how do I feel though about it, about my behavior? How do I feel about that? And then just having that compassion, that self-compassion. But it really does, having the intention really does. And that's just, you know, one little scenario. You can, there's other intentions you can set for yourself. Again, it really does change the mindset. It changes how your whole body feels when you have an intention that is geared up to allow yourself to have a moment and go, right, hold on, I'm just going to be really conscious with myself right now. What did I just do? And what was the reaction of that? Like, what was the outcome? Was it one that I really wanted? Was that my intention? So, again, coming back to that toxic patterns and preventing them in relationship. And again, you can use that in dating as well. Why did I choose to do that? Why did I choose to go on a date with that particular person, even though I saw X, Y, and Z happening? And I knew that wasn't going to be right for me. What I'm going to say is, when it comes to dating, obviously, making sure that, you know, safety is a huge aspect in this, as always, is I think going on a date with someone who, you know, you kind of aren't really sure about is the whole reason why we date. And I love going on dates. I think the more dates, the better. Like, choosing different people. And, you know, I see clients, I hear from clients after they've finished up with me, and they'll say, Eve, I went on a date, it was really good, and it was with someone who I never thought, you know, I would go on a date with. So it's interesting because, you know, have they ended up happily married? No. Have they ended up in partnership? No. So, well, some have, to be fair. Some actually have. And it's just allowing for that muscle to be flexed and to go into a space. You know, you have to be quite, you know, hard to keep dating. You know, I take breaks because it feels better for me to do that. But when I am dating, I really do enjoy it. And that's because that's my intention that I set. And I've created rejection recovery purely for, you know, not necessarily for people who have been dating, but there's a great aspect of the reason why I created it was because they were the things that I used to help me empower myself to go on dates. And so it's a really good course for that. But it could be for sort of any other rejection as well. So that aside, all of that said and done, we've reached 2024, and the end of this episode. I hope that it has helped you in some way, just even to think about having an intention, maybe a daily intention, you know, because when we have a daily intention, that then moves into becoming a habit perhaps. And it could, you know, I think intentions are wonderful, and they really are sort of, they become the bigger picture for a goal, for a dream, for a desire. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. With that, I hope you have the most fabulous year yet. I hope it is the most generous year. I hope that you have so much love for yourself. And of course, you feel really, really empowered to take up space because you are truly, truly worth it. You matter so much. Have an absolutely incredible day. Go set your intentions. Set your intentions. If you're dating, set your dating intentions. And if you're in a relationship, have a beautiful ritual, intention ritual with your partner or partners. And enjoy. And I love you very, very much. Have a good one.